there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Private investigator Doug Hagman will be here in 10 minutes. In Washington today, a woman was shot dead after ramming a barrier near the White House. After failing to drive through the barrier, the woman fled the scene and drove toward the Capitol building, where she attempted to drive through another barricade. Secret Service agents pursued the woman. She fired shots at the police. Police officers returned fire, killing the woman. A small child in the car was unhurt. Police have no motive at this time for the woman's erratic behavior. But I'm sure the government, corporate, mainstream news media will tell us that she was a right-wing Republican, a member of the Tea Party, armed with an assault shotgun. Yes, an assault shotgun. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, the MK Ultra program gunman, Aaron Alexis, who said he was trying to stop the electromagnetic pulse waves from bombarding his mind with voices, killed 12 people at the Washington Navy Yard. Of course, he had a top secret clearance. Nobody has explained that one to us. The media said that he had an assault weapon. Turned out to be a shotgun. So now we have assault shotguns. But don't worry about it, because the United Nations Global Gun Control Treaty will outlaw assault shotguns. Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Bob Casey said he was walking from the Capitol to the Senate office, Russell office building, when he saw several police officers driving fast on motorcycles. Senator Casey said he immediately heard up to five pops. A police officer told the senator to hide behind a parked car. As a warning alarm sounded, the House went into recess, and all House members and staff members left the chamber. Likewise, the Senate suspended its activities. Police closed Constitution Avenue. I think there's a message in that statement. Police shut down Constitution Avenue. In another unusual development in Washington, D.C., a mountain lion reportedly was spotted today behind a home near Fort DuPont Park in the nation's capital. That's odd. President Obama, Barry Satoro, as his friends know him, called the House Republicans today extremists who are obsessed with dismantling the Affordable Care Act. I thought it was the other way around. I thought Mr. Obama is the extremist who is obsessed with dismantling the best health care system the world has ever known. I guess it all depends how you look at it, right? Mr. Obama also warned Republicans not to mess with him over raising the debt ceiling. You know, he talks like a gangster. Don't mess with me. Speaking to employees at a construction company in Rockville, Maryland, Mr. Obama said a U.S. government default on its debts would be far worse than the shutdown. Of course, the Mac Daddy didn't say why he can't cut government spending so that we don't have to borrow more money. I'd start by cutting off the flow of tax dollars to Planned Parenthood to murder babies. I think that's a pretty good place to start cutting funds. Second, I'd cut off the State Department from spending money overseas to promote Mr. Obama's homosexual agenda. Third, I'd cut off all foreign aid. Fourth, I'd tell the United Nations that we're going to opt out for a decade, so we won't be sending in our our membership dues for a while. There's a lot of ways to cut government spending so that we don't have to lift the debt ceiling. Well, after dishonoring elderly World War II veterans yesterday, the Mac Daddy continues to insult the dignity of the American people by shutting down parks and landmarks that don't even require government expenditures to keep open. The White House has closed the Normandy American Cemetery and Memorial, where over 9,300 World War II heroes are buried. The site of the D-Day invasion is only one of 24 U.S. military cemeteries overseas that the Mac Daddy has shut down since Tuesday. Cemeteries are maintained by the American Battle Monuments Commission. Now listen to this. The Mac Daddy ordered the National Park Service to erect barricades, you know, Barry Obama, barricades, to close parking lots at Mount Vernon, Virginia. George Washington's plantation is privately owned. It does not receive federal funding. But that didn't stop the Mac Daddy, did it? Park Service officers barricaded the entrance, the parking lot, and the bus turnaround lot. And the Mac Daddy had the National Park Service shut down the entire 184-mile-long Chesapeake and Ohio Canal in Maryland, one of my favorite places of my childhood and youth. I've walked that canal so many times. But he wanted to make sure nobody hikes it or rides bicycles on the old towpath. Well, listen to this. Federal agents removed handles from all well pumps along the canal so hikers could not drink water. That's your president. That's your president for you. I'm going to take the handles off the water well pumps to teach those peons a lesson. Well, in the Middle East, another high-level Iranian military commander has been assassinated. London's Telegraph reported that the chief of Iran's cyber warfare program was found dead in a wooded area in a town northwest of Tehran. Mojtaba Ahmadi was commander of the cyber warfare headquarters, last seen on Saturday. Mr. Ahmadi was found later with two bullet holes through his heart. A local police chief said two men on a motorcycle were involved in the assassination. Five Iranian nuclear scientists and the head of Tehran's ballistic missile program have all been assassinated since 2007. And a number of them shot by somebody on a motorcycle. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told NBC News that Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, cannot be trusted because he's a whack job. Actually said he's a spiritual leader of a wild cult that is messianic, apocalyptic, and radical. Sounds like the Democratic Party, doesn't it? Israel's Channel 2 News reported that Israeli leaders held a series of high-level meetings with Arab officials in an attempt to muster a new alliance to take out Iran's nuclear program without the support of the U.S. military. Channel 2 said one very high-ranking Arab leader made a secret trip to Israel to meet with Mr. Netanyahu. Arab and Israeli leaders fear that the Mac Daddy is secretly forging an alliance with Iranian President Rouhani. He double-crosses everybody, doesn't he? I wonder how long the Saudi king is going to let the Mac Daddy get away with this stuff. You know, the person who made him, financed him, put him through school, got him in the White House. I wonder how long they're going to let him get away with this stuff. We got a tropical storm, Karen, coming through the Gulf of Mexico, make landfall this weekend east of New Orleans, west of Panama City, Florida. An early October snowstorm will grip the central Rockies and parts of the northern plains tonight and Friday. Heavy snowfall expected in the northern Rockies. I warned you in the early summer to prepare for bitterly cold and snowy winter. I hope you heeded the heads up and chopped and stacked plenty of firewood, filled up the oil tanks, stored some kerosene, and filled in all those cracks around your windows, because this is the opening act of the next little ice age. And this winter will be one that you'll remember for a long, long time. Of course, next winter will be just as cold or even colder as we go deeper and deeper into the ice age. I'm Rick Wiles. You're listening to True News. When I come back, Doug Hagman will be here.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast.
This is Max McLean. What did God say through Moses after giving the Ten Commandments? Listen to the Bible from Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. From Deuteronomy 6. Listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
Hear more at radiobible.org. That's radiobible.org.
You're listening to True News, your Christian alternative source for global news, analysis, and commentary. I'm Rick Wiles. I posted on TrueNews.com today a Huffington Post article about Pastor Rick Joyner's controversial remarks about the state of the USA, and in particular, what he believes must be done to turn things around. Mr. Joyner is the founder and director of Morningstar Ministries. His online TV program is Prophetic Perspective on Current Events. On Monday, Pastor Joyner said the political system in Washington is so broken and corrupt that he is no longer confident that the republic can survive the next 3 years of Barack Obama's second term. Rick Joyner said that there are forces at work right now to undermine and destroy the republic. Pastor Joyner said he is praying to God that the Lord will raise up men who will save the nation in this dark hour. Now, here is the really controversial part of his comments. Rick Joyner said, quote, "I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law," end of quote. Private investigator and radio talk show host Doug Hagman is on the telephone. Doug is the founder of the Northeast Intelligence Network. He and his son co-host a nightly radio program, The Hagman and Hagman Report. The website is homelandsecurityus.com. Doug, have we come to the place that men are praying for a military takeover of the U.S. government?
Well, Rick, that says quite a bit. I've got to say, when you make a statement like that, or when someone makes an open statement like that, it causes you to, or should cause people to do a double take. It certainly shows a lack of belief, and I think there's a growing lack of belief in our voting system. And it goes to the statement, Rick, I believe that that people are starting to realize that we are a captured operation. And I mean captured from within. The lack of confidence in the entire structure is evident by that statement. So, are we at that point? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but for that merely to be said.
Yeah, and Rick Joyner obviously has a lot of notoriety. Many people have followed his ministry for many years, and he's not a person who just makes careless remarks. But I think it speaks volumes about the depth of despair in the hearts and minds of millions of people that they've reached a point of saying, my God, would the military police step in and just stop this madness?
Yeah, and we were talking about this last evening to a large extent, too. What would that bring to the, imagine a military takeover of our constitutional republic, or what was once a constitutional republic, you know, what assurances would we have that it would turn out the way people expect it
right.
to turn out, or the way that comment perhaps was intended?
Right. Well, but then you have to look at it this way. We're not in a constitutional republic anymore.
Right. That's
so
correct.
So when you have somebody in power who acts like a banana republic dictator, a man who is lawless, who doesn't respect the Constitution, then that person should expect to be treated in a way that you would treat a banana republic dictator. He's a man of lawlessness. I'm talking about Barack Obama. He's a man of lawlessness. He does not respect the Constitution. So therefore, why should he expect that everybody else should apply the Constitution to him? He wants to destroy everything that is good and decent in this country, and he wants to be a little dictator. So perhaps what he needs is a visit by the U.S. Marines. Maybe they need to rappel down onto the roof of the White House from helicopters and escort him, he and his wife and dog, and tell him you're going to spend some time in Guantanamo Bay.
Exactly. But now, on the other end of that, you know, what's to guarantee?
Hey, we're at the point, Doug. I mean, what's the guarantee things aren't going to get really bad under this freak that's in the White House?
No, look, I 100% agree with you on this. I totally agree with you on this. I agree with the fact that we have complete lawlessness. I agree with the fact that, in effect, I've said this, that this is we've been captured from within. And the power elite control our politicians. I mean, if you look, it's a joke. I mean, the government shut down. It's political theater. All of this is political theater. We've got, and I see people already putting their hearts and efforts and blood and sweat into, well, not blood, but, well, in some cases, I suppose, into the 2016 election, saying, oh, we've got to take the country back in 2016. I think the more salient question is, are we going to have a country to take back in 2016? So maybe that statement, as you say, maybe that's not too far out of the realm of legitimacy.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's scary that that a military coup d'etat has now entered the political discourse.
Yeah, you know, and we were looking too. Wondering, and we've seen the internet rumors swirling around, as perhaps all the listeners have, could that Navy shooting have been some sort of warning or some type of attempted military takeover where the shooting was actually covered for an attempted military takeover and arrest of Obama? I don't know whether you've seen those internet statements floating around, but...
I think Alexis Aaron... Or Aaron Alexis, I just said it backwards, Aaron Alexis. I think it looks more like he was another pre-programmed Manchurian sniper
who couldn't
take the mind control pain any longer and was looking for the people who were bombarding his brain with electromagnetic pulses.
Yeah, I heard your program, too, that you had on, I believe it was with
yes.
Dr. John Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And we interviewed John Hall on the 11th of September, and it was interesting that it was 5 days before the incident actually took place. And talking about it at that time didn't seem to be, it was certainly real, but when you actually have a guy like Aaron Alexis writing things, saying things, acting for the month before, saying, hey, I've got people stalking me. They're bombarding my brain with these messages. And just days before, we were talking to a medical, a highly credentialed medical doctor, as you were, saying this is possible. And not only is it possible, it's happened in the past. Could it be happening today? And I believe that this is a case, where one of these candidates, one of these unwitting participants, one of these affected people, perhaps might have been, the results of which we saw in the Navy Yard shooting. I go back to the days of MKUltra in mm-hmm. terms of my research. Going back to Alan Dulles, in fact, April 13th, I believe it was, 1953, is when MKUltra was born. And in fact, it happened to be the same day as Ian Fleming's James Bond creator came out with the Casino Royale series, so or movie. So it's kind of an interesting coincidence, perhaps. But you know, I go back to look at this MKUltra program that was started by our own CIA, by our own CIA intelligence director, Alan Dulles. And if people know about Alan Dulles, the history, of course, you know, Rick, about his history.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness.
But they don't do bad stuff anymore.
Of course.
It was in the 50s. They stopped that stuff, Doug.
Oh, yeah. They took away the multi-billion dollar budget and immediately stopped it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For people who believe that, of course, folks, this stuff still goes on. In fact, I was talking to an intelligence source who flat out told me, he said, look, there are many projects across the United States that trace back to MKUltra that are ongoing today, and they're more refined today, and they're you know, of course, as technology grows, evolves, so do these programs, and so do the effectiveness of these weapons. So, you know, for anyone to discount the possibility out of hand that what we're seeing here, whether it's Aaron Alexis or whoever, whatever shooting, whatever incident, whatever mass casualty events that we see, if they discount this, they're not looking at history. We've got where history is replete with examples of mind control, mind manipulation. This is not tinfoil hat stuff.
That's right.
This is real stuff.
And every time there's a mass shooting by one of these psychopaths, that always, you know, they hear voices. They're always on psychotropic drugs. Lots of times they're connected to the U.S. government. They're former government employees or, military men, snipers, or they were involved in government research programs. I mean, the history of these gunmen is astounding when you lay out all the facts. But every time there's a mass shooting, immediately the politicians in the news media start talking about gun control.
Absolutely. And as a captured operation, that's one of the things, of course, that they've got to take the hands out of law-abiding citizens. And, Rick, if I can digress just a mm-hmm. tad here for a second, you know what I'm really concerned with? As I'm looking at the research I'm doing right now, I'm looking at this, everything that's taking place right now, with respect to the foreign policy. The Middle East is on fire. You've got really, it seems like this agenda that was started, and because of programs like yours and hopefully ours and others and the alternative media, I think that the puppet masters experienced a little bit of a speed bump in the road to World War III with respect to Syria. I do believe that Syria, the agenda, we slowed them down. But looking at the door, the Pandora's box opened by Barack Hussein Obama in the Middle East with respect to the Arab Spring and others, co-conspirators as well, looking at that Pandora's box and seeing now where we're at today, what worries the heck out of me, and I'll bounce this off you and get see what you think, but worries me that could this man that known as Barack Hussein Obama, and we really don't know, by the way, who this man is, outside of a CIA type of cutout. He's got a long history, generations of CIA, his background. But
I don't think he knows who he is.
See, and that's the point. Could he perhaps have outlasted his utility? And if so, what would that mean to his future? In terms of, if one outlasts their usefulness and utility, the Obama-Biden ticket, you know, what would, for example, would the agenda, because the agenda now has to be hastened, could there be a situation of perhaps making him a saint? Would that accomplish the objectives quicker now because of because of where we're at. The reason I mention that is because this all ties together because, as you mentioned, I don't know if Obama knows who he really is.
That's right.
Based on his...
Doug, going back to Syria, I mean, we were very close. It appears we were very close to World War III. There were reports that when Israel and the United States fired missiles over the Mediterranean, Mr. Putin was awakened by the Russian military, told that perhaps the war had started. He put the Russian military on full war alert. And, you know, we were within a hair of going into World War III. It also was revealed that the French President Hollande was standing by, ready to begin bombing Syria at 3 a.m. on August 31st. And it was called off at the very last minute because Mr. Obama changed his mind. And I wondered, did Mr. Obama get a phone call? Was he advised by somebody, you don't want to do that, don't go there? Did Vladimir Putin wreck his plans, or is it the other way? Is Mr. Obama and Mr. Putin secretly working together? Because what happened, Doug, is that immediately after that stand down, a very important change came into the Middle East that the mainstream news media doesn't talk about. The U.S., Britain, and France withdrew all of their warships from the Mediterranean. Immediately, Russia sent in a dozen warships.
Right.
We surrendered the Mediterranean.
We did, didn't we?
We did. Now, yeah. Was Putin a better chess player than Obama, and he checkmated him, and he won, and he's now in the driver's seat, or... was this a setup? Did Obama surrender American power to the Russians? I don't know.
Well, you know, it made me think at that time. I thought back to the Bay of Pigs scenario. And in that time, at that period of time, the military-industrial complex was really leaning on Kennedy to assist the people, insurgents in Cuba. Well, if you compare those insurgents in Cuba to the anti-Assad rebels in Syria, they're both ragtag teams. Without external support, will not last. And certainly the toppling of Assad in Syria would not benefit Russia in any way, shape, or form, or China. You know, so I was wondering there for a moment. Just for a moment, perhaps, maybe, Obama, like Kennedy, maybe became his own man just for that one decision. But then again, you know, why then? Why at that point? It's something that nothing to me happens by accident, especially at that level and especially at that time. So that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that except to say that if he did, for example, become his own man, so to speak, then I revert back again to the question, what might be in his future, especially if he lost his utility to the people pulling the strings, the military-industrial political complex that we're seeing.
That's right. And also, if he has been a stooge of the Saudi royal family, groomed, educated, paid for by the Saudi royal family over decades of his life, and they put him into the White House. Has Mr. Obama actually convinced himself that he really is the president, and he's making decisions now on his own? In other words, has Frankenstein's monster, you know, gone rogue? And
great question.
Because the Israeli Channel 2 news reported last night that the top Arab national leaders, obviously that's Saudi Arabia at the top of it, are meeting secretly with the Israelis to discuss how to take out Iran's nuclear program without Obama's support.
Right. Now, what should that tell us? And I would defer that to you, Rick, because you know you're on top of this. As much as you are, you know, what should that be telling us? are we looking at a situation where this solo effort, or this effort minus the military might of the United States, or at least overt military might of the United States, should this be telling us something? And if so, what?
Well, it's definitely telling us that old alliances are breaking apart, and nations that once were allies of the USA are now going out the back door. And, a few months ago, Great Britain signed a bilateral trade treaty with China that Britain and China would use each other's currencies, the British pound and the Chinese yuan, for trade without going through the U.S. dollar. I mean, Doug, if Great Britain, of all countries, is cutting deals with the Chinese behind our back, then how long until the dollar collapses as the official global reserve currency?
And that, I believe, Rick, is really the primary issue here. We're fighting an asymmetrical war where the globalists in charge of this, the plans that we're not privy to, their primary objective is, of course, to control all the wealth and thereby control the future, control the oil, the energy. So you've got the United States dollar, which is really, at this point, still the world's reserve currency, except at some point it will not be. It's a mathematical impossibility to sustain its current status. And when that happens, of course, it's going to be the death of the dollar. Not really the death, but the murdering of the dollar, because it's being done intentionally. So, and then, you know, if I can add this, what I see taking place and what my sources are telling me is, and I've got two different sources, very, very prominent, that are telling me, look, the British, you know, when the dollar fails, the British just might, and think about this, come to the rescue, and it would be where, once again, a return to the mythical Camelot, or the real sense, where the sun never again sets upon the British Empire, because of the replacement, the basket of currencies. Who would superintend that, and where are all the power brokers based from? And of course, it's the city of London, and so, you know, the same place where the shots are being called for the current the current situation. So, I guess what I'm saying in all of this is, I think that whether it's a shooting at the naval yard, whether it's Syria, whether regardless of the situation, I think we've got to look at the larger picture here, because I think by looking at just every small little incident, that, you know, these things don't happen in a vacuum, not necessarily. So we've got to look at the bigger picture. And when you look at the bigger picture, a panoramic landscape appears, and it's much more disturbing as one connects the dots, or as one continues to see the panorama, the view of what's taking place all across the world. I would never say this. I wouldn't have said this 5 years ago, because I would have called myself crazy. But I do believe that we are in the grips and the power brokers, the same families. The 1,000 years ago, essentially, thousands of years ago, the same families are controlling today, and different generations, but it's the same power structure at the time of the Tower of Babel, even to today. And I know that sounds
no, it's precisely what it is, Doug. What is rising up is Babylon. And actually, well, I mean, we're going off on talking, you know, biblical prophecy, but I actually believe what is attempting to take shape on the planet right now goes beyond Babylon. Babylon was created after the flood, and I think that what's coming right now is the satanic government that ruled the world before the flood. It was what God destroyed. It's the reason God destroyed the world with a flood. And that is what's coming back. Jesus said that when he returns, it would be as in the days of Noah. Well, what was going on in the days of Noah? You know, everybody stops and, you know, they always think, well, you know, it was, you know, they were, you know, a bunch of sexual perverts and everything was just, you know, bad and everything. Well, hey, there was a global government in place. It was run by Lucifer. He was the god of this world. There was an entire world system in place. And that's what was going on in the days of Noah. And that's why God said, I regret I ever made these people, you know. And so we're coming up once again to that point where the Lord says enough is enough of this stuff. You know, you're talking about Great Britain. You know, Queen Elizabeth has been on the throne longer than you and I have been alive.
Yeah.
And that old gal didn't outlive everybody by being dumb. I mean, think about it. She's seen a lot of presidents and prime ministers and kings come and go.
Exactly.
And she's still there, you know. And, you know, she probably does the moonwalk at night, you know, with her crown. Because she knows she's done, you know, she's outlived everybody. But look, you know, last month or a couple weeks ago, there's a big, huge story in Great Britain that didn't get one tidbit of news coverage in the United States. And that news was that the wife of a SAS commander went public with the information that her husband, who was in the, you know, a British commando, told her that his unit murdered Princess Diana.
I saw that, Rick. I saw that. And if you know, once again, when people hear stuff like that, they look at it just as a single news story or a single the tragic event, we'll say, without looking at the bigger picture. And if you study the lineage leading up to William and Henry, the two princes, and of course the heir apparent to the British crown. You know, what did, for example, what did Princess Diana bring to the table in terms of her lineage? And has this lineage been completed now?
Mm-hmm.
And did Diana, speaking of living their utility, did Diana see exactly what was going on?
That's what I've always believed, that Diana saw or heard something that she was not supposed to witness.
And I believe that, too. And I do suspect strongly that at the time of her death that not only did she see it, I think she took steps to foil to a certain extent what she saw taking place, or what she believed was taking place, or knew to be taking place, and was perhaps pregnant at the time of her death. Now, you know, I've got no evidence to prove that. But having said that, you know, at that point, she, once again, outlived her utility,
right,
and they had to get rid of her.
Before her death, yeah, she told a friend, they're going to kill me.
Yes.
They're going to stage a fake auto accident. Something's going to happen to my brakes. That's what she told somebody. And what we now know, I mean, you know, what came out after her death, which was all, you know, explained away as conspiracy theories, but what this wife of this SAS commando said is that no, all those things were real. They had a unit in the SAS that has a laser light that they use to shine into the eyes of people to blind them. That's precisely what a eyewitness saw in the tunnel in France that night. He saw a brilliant light being shown into the eyes, into the, you know, into the car that was who was it? Henry Paul was driving.
Oh, right.
And you know, he was blinded, and then the witness said the car began to veer left and right inside the tunnel. You know, and there was a motorcycle that pulled up beside the car while it was going through the tunnel. You know, the bright light is being shown into the driver's face. You know, it just happened that the closed circuit television cameras along the street were malfunctioning that night. what an amazing coincidence. There's no video of what happened at that moment. And, so all these things are falling in place that she was taken out. And you've got, and by the way, the commando has disappeared.
Oh, okay.
He's gone, you know. And so he can't be questioned by Scotland Yard. But, you know, that investigation is not going to go anywhere.
Of course not. And for the first time ever, and I have not said this publicly anywhere, we have been conducting an investigation of the Michael Hastings accident,
mm-hmm.
which, and I have not heard this in the public venue before. Now, if it's out there, forgive me for claiming some level of exclusiveness to this. But I had a meeting with somebody within the intelligence community who said that what happened to Hastings was there was a laser that was used. If one were to have seen the accident scene immediately prior to the crash, there would have been a truck or another vehicle ahead of the Hastings vehicle that would have been there, knowing the route, knowing that he was on coming that way, and a laser-like light was used in the very same fashion as you described with Princess Diana, in the exact same fashion.
Yes, and this isn't new. I mean, I interviewed the man, I can't think of his name right now, who wrote the book Target Patton, and he personally interviewed on his deathbed the man who was assigned the job by Wild Bill Donovan, at that time the OSS director, and later became the first director of the CIA. Wild Bill Donovan assigned this man, who was an Army sniper. This is World War II. Gave him the assignment of killing General Patton. And this man confessed the whole thing on his deathbed. You can read it in the book Target Patton. They killed one of the greatest generals in this nation, old blood and guts, George S. Patton. Why did they kill him? Well, because General Patton was furious at the end of World War II. The Nazis had surrendered, and the general saw things going on that made him furious, and namely, it was two things. The U.S. was carving up Europe and giving Europe to Stalin. Number two, the highest level Nazis were being smuggled out of Germany and taken to the United States. Patton was planning to come back to the United States, write a book about it, and there was already a draft Patton for President movement underway to run him against Harry S. Truman in 1948. And so they killed him. They killed General Patton, and this man on his deathbed told the story of how it was done. The general was in his limousine with another general and his hunting dog. The war had ended, and he's in Germany, and he's driving down the road, and the sniper was they had a truck, an army truck, that pulled out in front of the general's vehicle. But the sniper was off to the side and fired a projectile into the general's window of his limo, struck him in the forehead. But old blood and guts didn't die. He was tough. He didn't die. So now they've got a bleeding general with a split forehead. And the other general doesn't have a scratch on him. The dog doesn't have a scratch. The driver doesn't have a scratch. But the general, General Patton, has got a split head. Okay? So they take him to an army hospital, and over a couple weeks, old blood and guts recovers. And he says, I'm going home. And so the army plane is sitting on the tarmac of the military base, and they're going to wheel General Patton out to the plane in his wheelchair and fly him home to the United States of America so he could recover. And in a short period of time, as the plane was sitting on the tarmac, waiting on the wheelchair to come out with the general died.
Interesting.
They killed him in his hospital bed.
Mm.
These are the people that run this country, Doug.
Wow. I'll tell you, if I could be a regular guest, I'd learn more listening to you than all of my research. Seriously, you're exactly correct. These are the very same people.
They're wicked, they're vile, they're demonic.
They are. And you know, so I mean, once again, you know, one would think, well, that was Patton. That's one incident. But when you start adding all of these incidents up, when you look at the larger panorama view, then you can I think people will begin to understand. And that speaks to the statement made by Rick Joyner. Well, you know, do we need? I mean, is the game field so tilted? Are we in such a position right now where we can recover save for some sort of intervention?
Yes, or are we being set up to demand the very thing that they want to do?
That's the other side of the coin.
The program, reaction, solution. Problem, reaction, solution. Create a problem, anticipate the reaction, offer them the desired solution.
Exactly. Which is it now? Or could it be both? But we know that what we're seeing, Rick, and again, you know, I just have to look at my own growth mentally and when I grew into this. I mean, 28 years as an investigator looking at different things and seeing these things, when things stop making sense and you're confined to a box, you have to start looking outside of the box for answers. And that's where we are today, because none of this by itself, none of what we're seeing by itself makes a whole lot of sense. But when you start connecting the dots, bam.
That's right. I've watched you get out of the box over these years of interviewing you, because I think you go back to around 2001 or two.
Around two, yeah.
Yeah, right after 9/11, you've really changed over the years, Doug, as because if you follow the trail, if you connect the dots, you come to the same conclusion.
Well, and it's people like you that and others that have awakened me, but you know, it's a difficult pill, very bitter pill to swallow, to think that the lie is that enormous. That everything around us is a lie, that we're seeing, that we're being told, that we grew up with, that things that we've held dear in our hearts, that, my goodness, we've been lied to, and it's difficult to really accept. So, and then comes the anger phase. In my case, I'm angry because now I'm looking at the enormity of this lie, the people who have died because of the lie, and saying these power brokers, these puppet masters are psychopaths. They're sociopaths, and that for us to fall victim to the larger lie,
mm-hmm.
you know, is that larger lie is rooted in this is something that I certainly not only fell into, but perhaps was guided into. The lie is at the level of good versus evil, of the manifestations in heaven and hell, if you will. We're looking at a situation where it's a fight between the devil and Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, if we look at what's going on today, uttering the words, uttering the name Jesus Christ, is a unlawful or a sin unless it's used in vain or as a swear word. And so we can see we can see that we're up against something.
Then look, you got just the opposite going on in Russia.
Yes.
Russia is embracing its ancient Christian roots. It's returning back to Mother Russia, which was a Christian nation. And, you know, just the other day, in one of the Russian websites, I saw how they have Orthodox Christian church pastors, chaplains, going through mandatory military training now. You know, and the Russian government is paying to set up Christian chapels on Russian military bases. And you think, wait a minute, our government is bringing in homosexuality and perversion. The Russian military is building Christian chapels. Let's see, if we have a clash between the United States and Russia, which one may win?
Yeah, whose side is God going to be on? And are we on God's side here? It looks like we're on the wrong side at this point. And yet the Christians, the body of the Christians, are largely silent when they should be up in arms and saying, wait a minute, this is wrong. And oh my goodness.
If they weren't so biblically illiterate, they would know what these signs are telling us is going to happen, that when a nation goes into perversion and idolatry, the Bible clearly has a pattern of what happens.
Exactly.
And God uses an outside nation to come in and give them an old-fashioned spanking. You know, a former military commando told me one time, when he said this to me, it even made me do a double take. But he said, Rick, he said, I'm telling you, this regime that is in control of the United States of America, and he wasn't talking about parties, he was talking about the regime, the overarching regime. He said, this thing is so evil and so wicked that by the time they get done stripping the American people down even, to total nakedness and the evil that they're going to do in this country, he said, I'm telling you that when the Russian troops march into the United States, they will be viewed as conquering heroes. And I went, what? He goes, I'm telling you, it's going to get that bad. They're going, wow. He said, the American people are actually going to be relieved that somebody has come to get them out of the mess that they're in. And I thought, is it really going to get that bad? But I'm starting to see, Doug, that this is the direction we're going in.
It's obvious, yeah. It's obvious. We are when the military when everything began in earnest in the military, and I would put that during the Clinton administration. We can debate that point. Argue, if it was before or after. But with respect to the religion and the homosexuality, the perversion, it is so bad now. I do have a few contacts in the military that I've spoken with who have said it's become unbearable there. You've got to watch what you say. You certainly cannot. Don't get caught with a Bible, open Bible on your desk. And the fear is not from another soldier, for example, in the Army. The fear comes from above. So it's crazy. But you reference Russia. Wow, who would have thought in this time, in this place, that this is what we'd be seeing? And I'm no fan of Putin, by the way.
I'm not either. I'm just saying this is the direction we're going as a nation, and a collapse is inevitable if there is not a massive spiritual turnaround in the country. There will be a collapse. There's no doubt in my mind. And Doug, I'm looking at the clock. I think I've got about 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes remaining here. But if this country had a total financial collapse and we go into civil war and it's, just chaos in this country, think about this. The regime in Washington could wage war against American citizens for several years because they would call them insurgents. They would call them extremists. They would be waging war against them. The rest of the world will only see bits and pieces on their news of what's going on.
That's right.
That will go on for years. I mean, how many years has Sudan been in horrible turmoil? I mean, they're killing the Sudanese Christians every single day. Look at Uganda. Uganda, the Christians are being killed every day, and nobody does anything about it. This could go on in the United States for 2, 3, 4 years, and the rest of the world leaders would just sit back and say, let them kill themselves, and then we'll walk in and take everything.
Rick, I think it's already started. I think that the seeds have been sown for that very scenario you painted. I just didn't happen to see this about the Sudan, Uganda, in the New York Times, so it just can't possibly be true. Poor sense or poor attempt at humor. But no, you know, and I see it happening this way because the greed, the greed that we're facing, and the fact that it has always been about the collapse or the demise of the dollar, making that happen, and the creation of the Civil War. You've got the Bernardine Dorns and the Bill Ayers as professors or in positions of respect, alleged respect now, or perceived respect. They're the very people who were revolting back in the 60s and saying, look, we've got to kill however many.
They're going to have to kill 24 million resistors.
Right, at that time. Now it's grown. So who are the resistors? It's the Christians. This is, Rick, a war against the Bible-believing, I believe, the Jesus Christ-believing Christians in America. We are, we've got targets on our back. It's a war, and we're about ready to, we're involved in it right now. It's just that the first shots, we haven't heard the first shots yet, or it really hasn't been totally declared, at least not officially, but it's already in progress.
That's right. And in every place there has been a communist revolution and takeover, the survivors always say, we didn't think it could happen here.
Exactly.
And it happened so fast. It just happened so fast. And before they knew it, the country was plunged into bloodshed. And I've heard this over and over and over from survivors of communist revolutions. And, you know, you want to talk about gun control? Take guns away from communists.
There you go.
Get the guns away from the Obamanistas. Get the guns away from the gays and lesbians in the military. Get the guns away from the governments around the world that have killed tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people over the years. They're the bloody ones who use guns to kill humans. You know, take the guns away from them, and there might be some peace in the world. All right. Hey, Doug. Hey, listen, you got the Bob and Nasaria tonight, right?
Yes. He's coming on for an hour. I heard your interview with him. Fabulous. Thank you.
Tell him I said hi. You're going to have a great interview with him.
Oh, he sounds like a great guy. And it was a great interview, and I would urge your listeners to go back and listen to that one again. That was fabulous. Thank you, Mr. Wallace.
Yes, sir. So all right. Doug Hagman. Northeast Intelligence Network, the radio show Hagman & Hagman Report, and the website is homelandsecurityus.com. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, sir.
Well, as we close, here is a word of encouragement to the House of Israel, all the men and women worldwide who have called upon the name of Jesus Christ to save their souls. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down in silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and evermore. Praise the Lord. I'm Rick Wiles on behalf of everybody here at True News. We love you, and yes, praise the Lord.